Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, your ultimate source for live and local programming.
We are talking green, we're talking energy, we're talking oil, we're talking scary figures as well, because prices are going up because of someone else's war, but they've come up, they've gone down, they're going to go down again, they're going to go up and so on. Who has all the details? Well, I'll tell you what, Lisa Beeney has all of the details. So, Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you.
Where do you want to start?
I think if we start with the good news...
That'll be good.
In that on the 1st of April, everybody should have seen their prices come down. And that is good news, and that will be a change that people will notice. Now, the bad news is that's only for 3 months, because the way Ofgem sets the price cap, that's recalculated every 3 months. So, in theory, it means when the price comes down, the price drops should come through to people faster. But it does also mean when the price goes up, that price increase comes through to people faster. We're all aware that we have an orange-faced idiot who perhaps should have stayed at nursery school, but unfortunately they've let him run the United States. And the impact of his war is that oil prices have gone up. And everything we have in this country is tied to the price of oil. Whether it should be or shouldn't be, it is at the moment, and we can't change that. So we have to work within it. The way the price cap is calculated, it's based on an average of the energy prices over the last 6 months. So although the price cap changes every 3 months, it's looking at a 6 month period. And the next 6 month period that it will be based on will end mid-May. So we've got between now and mid-May when it would be really good if the oil price could come down a bit, because that will impact how much prices will go up in July. And then by the end of May, the new price cap is announced, and then 1st of July it comes into force. At the moment, the predictions are that the prices will go up by about 15%, which unfortunately wipes out the price drop we've just had and a bit more. Then the longer term forecast for September is that prices will rise again, but only by about 4%. And then potentially again in January. But by the time you get to the September and the January prices, really is crystal ball stuff. Nobody really has any idea. And it does all depend on what happens in the Middle East. But it also depends on the decisions our government makes. Because they could decide to, what we call, decouple the price of gas from electricity, which is at the moment... All of our electricity is charged to us at the cost of the highest production, which happens to be the electricity produced by gas turbines. Now, at the weekend, that was only 5% of our electricity. So for 95% of it, it should have been really quite cheap, because about 75-80% of that was coming from renewable energy. And if you took the price per megawatt hour, that would have equated to about half a pence per unit that we would be seeing. But because of the method of price calculation that we have, that's not the case. So we have to pay the price of the highest thing, which is gas. And that's why our power is getting expensive.
So decoupling is something that they can make a decision on? When will they make it?
It's something they've been talking about for the last couple of years. And they keep saying that they're going to do it. But words are wonderful. Actions are even better.
Yeah.
So it would be good if we see that actually happen. And that would make a real impact on people's bills. Because... as we move to more and more renewables, it will then make it cheaper and cheaper and reduce our reliance on what happens in the Middle East.
How much pressure do you think that there is from the companies that own the energy companies and so on, how much pressure do you think there is on them from government to make those changes?
I think the pressure is the other way round.
Or not. I was going to say, or not to make those changes, because if you bring it down, they make less profit.
If you bring it down, they make less profit. And then you start looking at who funds which political party. And in an ideal world, I know lots of people may disagree with this, but I think we should stop all donations to political parties and fund them from a central government fund, so that we then know each party gets given the same amount of money. We know they're not going to be influenced by any large business or corporation, or at least not by them giving them millions of pounds in donations. So then we may end up with politicians that actually put the people first.
Well, I can't argue with that. It'd be nice to have politicians that, work for the people rather than the other way around, and are easily targeted when it comes down to the major companies that have the power and so on. And maybe they've got fingers in those pies, so it means something to them. Yeah, it totally makes sense. Really does. So that might be a decision. Do you think that will be made this year or next year?
Who knows? I mean, unfortunately, lots of things need parliamentary time, and there's lots of interruptions to that. So it could be the latest scandal about a politician doing something he shouldn't takes up parliamentary time, and everything else then gets pushed back.
Like a war and things like that.
Yeah, that's
pretty time consuming.
But
more importantly, it's having a knock-on effect on all of the things that we're talking about.
It is. I was up in Whitehall the other week. I had to give a presentation to some of the government ministers about the work that we do on the island, and a lot of their focus is on what's happening in the Middle East and the impact of that on people's energy bills. And that brings us neatly on to the next bit, which is what help is there available. And we now have the new Crisis and Resilience Fund open, and the government has put an additional £53 million into that. That's then distributed via local councils, and people can apply to that for help. And that £53 million is meant to be specifically for people's oil heating costs. The Isle of Wight Council have an online application form, so you go to iow.gov.uk/CRF for Crisis and Resilience Fund, and you'll be able to find the application on there. Reading through their criteria, it includes things like you have to have less than £2,000 in savings, you'll have to provide 4 weeks evidence of low income, you'll have to provide evidence to show what the crisis element is and why you can't afford the extra money for the heating oil. So it's not as flexible as the previous payments that Liz Truss gave, where she gave £66 a month to everybody for 6 months or something.
Right.
The application process is going to be slightly harder, and then the council will decide if they feel you really need it or not.
Now, you said, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you said you've worked with other councils other than ours.
Yeah.
And theirs is slightly easier to sort of fill in. The forms is slightly easier. Do you think that's a good thing to have it easier or not? And if it is off-putting for those people that really need it, because the form is quite intrusive and, you know, you've got to go through a few hoops and so on, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? And also, my last question would be, if people don't claim it, where does the money go?
If we deal with the first bit first, as to how easy and should it be easy, it needs to be easy enough for everybody to apply. And we have to remember that not everybody has the same degree of literacy as everyone else. And sometimes people that need most help may struggle more with online forms than anyone else. And people don't always actually keep all of the paperwork. I mean, how many of us get a bill in or something, we read it, or even a bank statement, we think, yep, that looks right, and we'll shred it or throw it away. We won't necessarily keep them all. So there'll be a number of people that as they go down this list of all the things that they need to pull together and find to claim this money, will find it a bit overwhelming and will give up.
So is there places where do they get help from the council for that? Were they a help and assist, or is that...
There is a council phone number that you can phone. But again, with the problems that the council have with the funding for the council as a whole, I know that team has been greatly reduced in numbers. So at the moment, I think there is one person dealing with the whole scheme. So that's going to make it very, very difficult for the council to be able to help. The scheme is also very new, and I don't know how quickly yet they will be able to process those applications and get the money and the help out to people. What happens to the money if it's not all spent? I'm not 100% sure, if I'm honest. The old household support fund used to fund things like the food pantries, and an element of that was also used to fund, I believe, Citizens Advice. I had an email come round from the council saying that Citizens Advice would be moving out of the council offices, and the council have decided to take that work back in-house themselves. So there is a lot of change going on. And I think some of this Crisis and Resilience Fund money will be used to fund those changes.
Okay, well, let's hope first of all that the people that fund is for can get the funds that they need so that they can use them accordingly.
Yeah.
It just seems a bit, and I'm not having a go at the council because they are, you know, overstretched and so on. And, you know, you just mentioned there that they've reduced a unit that would deal with this in normal circumstances, and there's less people to do so.
Yeah.
So that suggests that, you know, maybe some investment into that so that they can help people would be good. That doesn't come from the council. I think that comes from the government, doesn't it?
In theory, yes, but in practice, the government is giving every council less and less money and at the same time expecting them to do more for that money. So we may not love the council all of the time, we may not agree with what they do, the decisions they make, but they have their hands tied a lot of the time. Mm. There's things that they have to do by law and provide. They're being given less money. There's more people needing the help that they have to provide by law, which means there's just about nothing left to do the things that, in the council's view, are the nice-to-haves. But as far as everybody that lives here is concerned, they're the things that people really want to see.
Yeah.
But they are, unfortunately, the things that get cut first.
Unfortunately, and I say, you know, we look towards government and say, hey, hang on, you've been cutting this for so long, it doesn't matter what party, because they've all been doing it, they've all been making the cutbacks for the last X amount of years.
Yep.
And this is what we're left with. We're left with a reduced service that you could do with some extra people now to make this work, purely and simply because then people could get the benefits from it, which is what it's all about in the first place.
It is, and as an island, we have some specific problems in that we're limited with the number of companies that will come over here to supply anything. I think we've got Certas that do the oil deliveries. There's organisations like Tank Toppers that you can go on to and get the best price, but it's still all delivered by Certas. And we were looking at heating oil alternatives, and there are some greener alternatives available, but none of that's available on the island. So because we're an island, there are limitations and additional costs involved, because to get a tanker of oil over here, you've got to pay a ferry fare. It's not just driving over a county border.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always something about the Isle of Wight. I mean, we're lucky. Look at us. We're boasting about beautiful weather and beautiful scenery and so on today. But there are some times we shoot ourselves in the foot, and that is one of them. I'm not saying we should go and get some kind of crossing, because a tunnel or a bridge or anything like that. Far from it. But how many times do we hear the Isle of Wight being falling back in the queue because we don't do that, we don't deliver there, or we can't do that because you're on an island?
And that's why, with what I do, I think it's important I get off the island, like going up to Whitehall to speak to government, to talk about what happens on the island. It's just really important, because if we don't get off the island and talk about it, people aren't going to come here and ask.
No. They're not going to worry, and they're not going to know. More importantly, they're not going to know. But so thank you for going up there on behalf of the Isle of Wight. I want to say thank you for coming up there and flying the flag for the Isle of Wight and making them more aware. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact there are funds.
There are funds available. And we've also got the Warm Homes Grants available. And if people want to give us a call on 01983 668 900, we can help people with the application for that. That could provide you with solar panels, batteries and a new heating system. And we've got something quite exciting happening later this year, when the government's changing some of the regulation around balcony solar, which would be solar panels you'll be able to buy at a supermarket or a DIY store and come home and plug them in.
I read this somewhere, yes. And I thought, wow, that's going to be incredible for a lot of people who you just mentioned there.
Yeah.
If you've got a balcony or you just, I think that's amazing. Mm. That is going to help. That is really going to help.
It will do. I mean, every little thing helps. And all of these little things add up to be a big thing.
Absolutely. And you said, and I just want to say to people, and I say this every time, it's lovely and warm today, and you're hearing about, putting things on your roof and looking in for warmer homes help and support and so on. And you think, yeah, but it's warm, don't worry about it now. No, do it now. Now's the time to do it. It won't always be warm. And by the time these things come out the other end, it's generally, a few weeks, maybe even a few months.
Typically a couple of months for any grant-funded scheme. So now is the time to be applying, because then the installation would take place over the summer when you don't necessarily need your heating on. And then you'd be set up for next winter.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does to me.
Hey, look, so if people want to get in touch for advice on anything we've been discussing, or anything that they might have in their house that, might save them energy, might not save them energy, and so on, how do they get in touch?
They can phone us on 01983 668 900, or email info@greeniow.org.uk.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lisa. We'll see you in a month.
Yep, I'll see you in a month's time.